Well, I didn't quite finish the story of that hymn. The story I finished, but what's the takeaway is what I'm talking about is that why would D.L. Moody said, "I wish I had written that song," as if that song has more effect than all his preaching. You know, that's the inference. And brothers and sisters, that's the point. That's the point. He was, of course, a great evangelist that God has raised up for his time, no doubt about it. A very special gift used to save many. And the impact of his ministry is far-reaching. But this little song written by this little brother might have, in D.L. Moody's feeling, touched more lives and affected more lives and possibly saved more people than all his preaching. You know, I read the story of a man named Dawson, a very famous. He was the founder of the Navigators. You know, there's a group called the Navigators. They read the Bible, and that started in the outset of World War II, and had become quite a movement, quite a group, Christian group. And when Billy Graham, the great evangelist, was ministry was growing, you know, holding gospel campaigns in various stadiums across the world. There was a big one, a famous one there in London. I don't know, must be in the 50s. And he sort of, that is, Billy Graham recruited this Dawson to help in what? In the follow-up work. The follow-up work. Meaning that it was quite an undertaking to gather thousands upon thousands to a field or to a stadium to meet and hear the gospel. But what is more challenging and what is lacking is the follow-up. People would do the altar call, you know, people would respond, people would get saved. Then who follows them up? Or Billy Graham would say, go to the church of your choice. Go to church on Sunday. That's it. Follow up? Not really. So he recruited this brother to help him to create a follow-up system using the various denomination in that city or in that area to help him to do that. So Billy Graham's ministry is to preach the gospel. That, which is an important first step, but it is not a ministry that is building up the body practically or the church life for that matter. And so this reveals this need. And that is, if we are here to build up the body, we need every member because the body is builds itself up in love. That means the body is not built up by the gifts, whether it's evangelists or prophets or prophets. But the body is eventually built up by believers, members of the body that are perfected by these gifts. When they go to work, when they serve, when they become operative as different parts of the body, then and only then is the body built up. That is, by definition, the church life, where every saint is active, every member is living and active. They're all functioning. They all serve. They all build up the body of Christ by building up one another. And so there it is, the whole principle that you may say big is good, but small is more beautiful. Small is more necessary. So you got a big congregation. That's good for show. That's good for a facade. But what is the real situation is not Sunday to Sunday in the hall or in a quote-unquote church, house of worship. It's what is taking place in the saints' daily lives, believers' lives. How are they the rest of the week? The same thing with us, brothers and sisters, in the Lord's recovery. It's not Sunday, we go to the meeting, and we can also have a facade. We can also have a kind of a show. What about the rest of the week? You know, what is the total number of hours? I don't know, you know, 24 times 7. And those few hours at the meeting hall, it's just those small fraction of a percentage. The church life is every day. The church life is every hour. The church life is everywhere. The church life is in our home. The church life is when we interact with people, when we fellowship, when we pray, when we do things in many, many things to serve the Lord and to serve men. So even from this angle, brothers and sisters, you can see just to have a big congregational gathering or a congregational style of church life is woefully inadequate. It's good to as a preaching place or a place to collect people. That's good. It has its use. And we have these trainings and feasts and all of this in the recovery. Those are not church meetings, by the way. Those are ministry meetings for the release of the word, for so on. I'm talking about local churches. In the local churches, we really don't depend on that kind of meeting to maintain and to grow our church life. It is really all the saints practicing what we receive from the ministry, right? But in a mutual way, in a corporate way, in our homes, in our daily lives. All right, now let me just go on in number 3. The small meetings are the foundation of the building of the church. This is an unshakable law. The small meetings, the groups, let me call them groups, right? Let's say you have a church with 120 people, whatever. You can have 10 groups easy, each group with 12, or actually more than that. Some group with 6 people, some group with 8 people. It depends. There's no legality, but it is smaller. It's a smaller unit to facilitate the mutuality, the functioning, the care of each other, and all these things about outreach and caring for the needy and so on and so forth, and the raising up of the young, all of this. So these small groups are the foundation of the building up of the church. That means if you have just big meetings, that church cannot be built up. That church cannot be built up. The church is built up in the groups. Whether it is increase, whether it's numbers increasing, whether it's the church, the saints growing in life, whether it is the believers being perfected in the truth to serve. It happens in the group level, not in the Sunday big meeting level. So the foundation of the building of a local church. This is critical. I like to ask in your churches, how's your foundation? How is this foundation? I don't even ask, how are your Sunday meetings? That's important. But I ask, how are your groups? Are the groups functioning? Are there groups at all? Are there groups that are effectual, dynamic, living? That's a serious question. Brothers, if we don't break through this, if we don't come back to this, brothers, we can keep doing the same thing, the same thing. Although big meetings can gather and stir up people, it has that use. It really does, positively. They cannot build them up. It's one thing to give people a word, one thing to stir up people, one thing to gather and blend, which are all good and needed. It's another to build them up, to help them grow, to nurture, to nourish, to perfect, to disciple. This kind of work that builds up the church in a fine way cannot be done in a large congregation. One, the work of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost was absolutely right. There were the big meetings under Peter's leadership, which attracted the 3,000 and then the 5,000. And there were the homes into which the new ones were added. They were added not to the temple. They were added to somebody's home with a certain group, maybe in the neighborhood. Maybe he's a relative of somebody who got saved and he's in this kind of house-to-house gathering. That's where they were added. It says the Lord added to them. Added how? Added what? Added to a big congregation in the public square? No. But added to some smaller units. These foundational, home-based, small units of saints who are built up together to care for people. That's where they're added. And that's how they are added. It was in the homes that these believers, as building materials, were practically built together. You can come to a Sunday morning bigger meeting, and I ask you, who are you built up with? You can be built up with nobody and still be a member in that congregation. You come and you go. You give your tithes, and you go. Are you built up with anyone? Probably not. Not necessarily. We are built up in small numbers. All right? Later on, we're going to get into even the twos and threes again, because that is a big part of this kind of group, this kind of group church life. And it's very important to be built up together, dear saints. We should not be independent. We should not be individualistic. We are members of each other. We serve as a priesthood. We have to be built up and coordinated with other saints to have the church life and to serve the Lord, okay? Two, history shows us that up until today, there's very little building in Christianity. They're organized with thousands, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands. It's one thing to be organized together as a denomination, as a in that kind of a way. But I'm talking about the real building up, the real building up of the body. All right? What has been accomplished through all the centuries is only a work of revival. This is like the book of Judges, revival after revival after revival. That's not the church life. The church life is building and building and building. From the basic, right? At the most basic level, that's where the building occurs. When there are groups built up, you have saints that are built up. And you have a church that is built up and not dependent on revivals, on sermons, and clergy. Three, we need the big meetings to bring in the building material, for without the material, there can be no building. Right? But there is still the need for the fine building work. Building work is something fine. Not just show up in a meeting and sitting next to someone. No, that's just coming to a meeting, attending a meeting. We're talking about the real building up of the church into a body, into a priesthood, into a kingdom. Four, our present need is to find a way to improve the small meetings so that they will become rich, strong, fresh, living, attractive, and able to uphold all the saints. Now, I especially here would like to put the word meeting in parentheses. We need to find a way to improve the small groups, the group life, that this group life that we're in 7 days a week would become rich, strong, fresh, living, attractive, and upholding. That means we, the group people, the group members, have to be such. Rich, living, strong, fresh, attractive. If we are not, how can our group be? And if our group is not, how can the church be? See, dear saints, this really is where the rubber meets the road. We are not for putting on our Sunday best, right? Going to a Sunday meeting and call it a day. Member in good standing, usually, typically, by definition. But that could be, I'm not saying always, could be just a show. It's how about my daily life? How about me and my spouse? How about our children? How about our real situation? You know, when you open up your homes, you expose a lot of things, you know. You cannot hide. When you're in a smaller situation, you cannot hide. You cannot deceive people. You are just how you are. We're forced to be real. And we should be real. To me, this is a salvation. This kind of church life saves me, saves my marriage, saves my children. Am I right? Saves, preserves, saves. It's not just showing up to a meeting and be head counted. B, the life pulse, the word life pulse of the church depends upon the small groups. These are strong words. The life pulse, that means without the groups, it's dead. The body is dead, the church life is ineffectual. One, we need to build up the small group meetings as the foundation of the church meetings. I would say, build up the small groups as the foundation of the church. Two, if the small groups are successful, the church will be strong. Amen. I speak this from experience. You can have a church of 120. You can have a church of 1,200 or 12,000, like in Jerusalem. What will make it, what is the commonality to a positive, successful church life? It's the groups. B, because the groups are all the same. The big church have more groups, right? The small church have less, but they are just at the group level. When the groups are strong, a big church can be upheld. A big church can be living. And a big church can take care of everybody, not on Sunday maybe. We also have districts nowadays for roughly the same reason, to break the big number down so more can function. But the group, this group in the homes is the basic unit, if you say. Well, we're going to talk more about twos and threes, but this small group is a basic unit of the church life that we must build up. I come to your church, I would just say, brother, how are the groups? How's the group doing? How's the group church life? Yes, praise the Lord for the Lord's Day meeting. Wonderful. Thank the Lord for that. I'm for that. But I'd like to see more, to really ascertain how solid the church is. I like to see the groups. How are the groups doing? Are they going on? Are they growing? Are they strong or are they shriveling? Are they deteriorating? Are they dying? So we all have to learn how to live the group life, to build up the group life, to engage in the group life. And that deals with our individualistic disposition, absolutely. All right, let's go on. To have a strong society and a strong nation, the homes must first be kept in good order. The same applies to the church. It is impossible to have strong church meetings if the small group meetings in the homes of the saints are not strong. It's very clear. A strong nation depends on a strong society. The strong society depends on the strong families. And that's why the nuclear family is so important. And that's why it is under assault by the devil himself in so many ways in modern times, basically to destroy the God-ordained nuclear family, so-called. Because without that, a society crumbles. And a nation cannot be strong. The church is the same. That's the kingdom of God. You need strong families. You need strong homes. You need strong groups of people. B, if the group meetings are not strong, this will force us to rely on, again, spiritual giants. When a spiritual giant, a Gideon, a Samson, you know, these judges, when they comes, the church will seem to be strong. Yeah, these powerful people can give you the idea or the illusion, I would say, that something's happening, revival's going on. But when this person leaves, when he goes, the church will be even weaker than before this person comes. This is abnormal situation. Brothers, we're not in the judges. We're not practicing the judges' church life. We're practicing the Ruth church life. How about that? You know, the story of Ruth. Ruth actually is the overcoming part of the judges' age. The story of Ruth took place during the judges' age. And in that abnormal times, lasting many, many years, decades, there's a shining, brotherly say, aromatic, beautiful situation in the case of Ruth and Boaz and Ruth's mother-in-law. They're the overcomers. They are eventually the ones that would bring in the Lord. They become ancestors of Christ. They take the way of life. And they take the small way. The small way of a marriage. The small way of a home. The small way of a family. So see, the group meetings are the lifeline, not just the life pulse, the lifeline of the God-ordained way. So today we say we want to practice the God-ordained way. Let's make sure we have this organic infrastructure of groups in the church life for the God-ordained way to be carried out. You can be fired up to do this and do that, preach the gospel, this and that, wonderful. But if the church is not built up in the groups, I tell you, it will not go too far. It cannot go far. We have this experience. In the 70s, I was in my mid-20s, I started the first church, raised up the first church in a place called Costa Mesa in Southern California. We were all young. But I can tell, and that is before the 1980s, when the matter of the groups and all of this were promoted by Brother Lee. But I can tell you, looking back, that we had this Acts 2 church life. We did in substance. The dynamic situation among the saints, the presence of the Spirit, the meeting in the homes, we have nothing else. The house to house, day to day. I mean, really, brothers, the sisters, the brothers, the students, all kinds. If it not were for some need, we consolidated back to Huntington Beach. I tell you, today I'm sure after all these decades, Costa Mesa would be a big, big church. But my point is not just big, you know, so many people. My point is the day-to-day, house-to-house, group church life was present and prevailing. So long as we have not touched the group meetings or the groups, we have hardly begun to practice the God-ordained way. The God-ordained way is practiced in a context. It is not done in a vacuum. That context is a group church life. And to a great degree, I still testify on behalf of Irvine. We started to build up a group church life. I don't mean we are the best. I don't mean we did it all right. No, I'm just saying to a large degree, whatever blessing we have enjoyed in the growth, increase, and the building up of the church here over the years, over the decades, were due to the deliberate, intentional building up of the groups. And it's something that needs to be maintained and refreshed and renewed all the time. It takes work. It takes labor, brothers and sisters. But that's the God-ordained way. The churches need new blood. That is new members. The only way to gain the new members for the church is through group meetings or through the groups. That is the right way. That is the best way to gain people. Talk about following up. Talk about shepherding that we have talked so much in this kind of talks last year. Talk about finding the lost and restoring the weak, brothers, all through the groups. Because it's at this level we know people. In the Sunday, who do you know? But in the group, we know. We know who's who. We know what's what. We can be intimate and mutual. Our desperate need today is to practice the new group meetings in the new way. I would say the new groups in the new way. Without this, it is very difficult to go on by gaining the increase. So we can talk about the increase, burden for the increase. How do we gain the increase? Four, finally, in every local church, we would hope to see a total mobilization, activation of all the members, that every member would function normally in a small setting with a smaller number. We long to see this, and we need to build that up. In order to have a total mobilization, there's no other way but to have the small groups. Only in the small groups will everyone be able to function. There's no second row. We're just together. We all function. Older ones, younger ones, we all have a place in the Church of Jesus. Am I right? Everyone can function, and everyone functions when there is a smaller number. We'll get into all these things later on. D, the group meeting should constitute 80% of the church life. Okay, brothers, I am done with. There's still one more Roman numeral that we can get to next time, but I hope between now and then, the brothers would have passed on to you or distributed to you this outline, and you would take this to the Lord. All right? Not just receive it, not just amen it, not just read it, but I say again, have the aspiration, have the burden, have the burning, fervent desire that your church, the saints in your place, over time would build up the group life so that the Lord can have a new breakthrough, a new way to advance among us. All right, I stop here.